Welcome to the Monogamous Marriage Podcast. We're Kate and Liam, married bisexuals a decade into our non-monogamous journey.
We've been having sex with our friends for 10 years, and we're still madly in love with each other.
We're the authors of the Monogamous Marriage blog, where we've been overthinking sex and love since 2016. This podcast is the place where we process our sexual adventures in real time.
We are not experts, and nothing we say should be mistaken for professional advice. This show contains mature language and sexual content, so if you're under 18, it isn't for you. But if you're a fellow overthinker and you're not freaked out by unfiltered conversation, you're going to feel right at home.
In the spring of 2022, we did a series of three podcasts that had to do with my desire to go on separate dates. We have done so much group play in the lifestyle over so many years, and I felt like I had just been floundering almost every step of the way. Occasional successes, but mainly struggle. And so, as we talked about in the first episode of season two of this podcast on group versus solo play, there's a definite difference in preference between us. I love one-on-one connection with others besides you, and you like groups.
So in the course of a little more than a year, you had seven separate experiences with women that were some dates where you went for dinner and maybe to a hotel or to our house. Some of them were separate sexual situations at events we were at together. And each time it was difficult for me. And then we hit a major wall back in October. And if you've heard our betrayal episode, you will know all the details of that. So after that, we decided to kind of take a little break and regroup and focus on our relationship for a while. You did have one additional date during that period, but mostly it was shut down. It was never gone from my mind. It was constantly kind of whirring around in the background, this knowledge that you had a desire that I hadn't yet fully met. And my biggest fear is that you will down the road look back and say that I have regret and resentment toward you, i.e. me, because I kept you from doing this thing you wanted to do. So I knew that I couldn't just let it completely go away, that I had to keep working out different ways in my mind that I could deal with this and approach it. And so finally, last month, we felt good enough, or I felt good enough to say, okay, let's open this file again and look at a different way to approach it. So we had been paying attention to Naughty Jim's Scott and April's video series on their separate dating, and they talked about dating online, which was something that made me nervous for several reasons. Firstly, the idea of you going out with a stranger felt more threatening and dangerous to me. So in the past, I had said, just go out with people I've already met, maybe people we've played with, but someone that I have some familiarity with. So you had done that. And then I thought for myself, my concern with online dating is, as a single woman dating men, I was worried about my safety, and it just didn't feel completely comfortable to me to imagine going to a place to potentially have sex with a guy I've never met before. So because of both of those things, I had kind of ruled out separate online dating. But I came back to it thinking, okay, you've kind of exhausted your, you know, your list of women that we already know in the lifestyle who are open to dating separately. So maybe we need to go to a new pool of people.
Okay, so that sounds very logical, but I have to say I was caught completely off guard. In fact, the first time you mentioned it, I thought, oh, okay, well, let's not make a decision on this now. Let's just live with the idea for a bit. But it didn't go away for you. You actually came back to me saying, no, I want to do this.
Yeah, I guess there were a couple of things going on for me in the 6 months that we had refocused on each other. And what I came to believe was that I cannot impose my will on you. That's inevitably going to lead to problems and resentment. And when there's something you want that I don't want, I can only control me. So I can't hold you back. I have to let you do what you need and want to do because I don't own you. I don't own your body. I don't own your heart. And if I keep you from doing something that you desperately want, that is inevitably going to lead to disaster for me because I want our relationship to be strong and stable. And if there's underlying resentment, it's going to break that down. So with a little bit of fatalism, I just said, fine, I let you go. I don't own you. If you're going to leave me, you're going to leave me. I need to let you make the choices you want to make. And if that's you want to date someone separately, you want to fall in love with someone, fine. You follow your freedom and autonomy, and I will then make whatever decision I need to make in whatever relationship we end up having. So if you fall in love with someone and I find that that is so hurtful to me that I cannot be in a relationship with you, then I need to remove myself from the relationship. But I can't enforce my will on you, so I gotta let you go. Part of my mind said, I'm just giving up on Liam, which is not a great way to feel or think, but that's kind of what I said to myself. Like, I'm just giving up on any say I have in your life, any claim I have on you, and I'm just gonna let you do whatever you wanna do and control myself in response to that. So that's one thing. I guess another thing that was working through my head was when you were going on these dates before, I was just either staying home and getting high and being miserable or going out and trying to distract myself. But I was not also going on dates. So maybe if we came to it on more equal footing at the same time, we both set up profiles, we both went on a bunch of first dates, maybe I could find some fun and enjoyment in it as well. And that might alleviate some of my stress and give me something to look forward to as well.
So I think it's worthwhile if I just take a second to say what I was looking for. While I recognize that, yes, there's a danger that I could fall in love, get carried away, that this turns into something I don't want or that you don't want, my original thought was I wanted something that was separate, different, unique for me, but I did not want to fall in love. I did not want to have a long-term relationship, if relationship means we text every day, hey, how are you this morning? Good night. How did that meeting go? Is your child feeling better? That was not the kind of relationship I was looking for. It was really to say, I want 4 or 5 hours with someone, just one-on-one time. So I'm not trying to defend that right now.
Well, we've already covered that in 3 episodes, so.
Right. But I want to be clear just in terms of this is the thing that I was looking for and that you had found your way to accommodating when you came to me and said, let's try online dating.
So my idea was that we would set up our profiles on the same weekend and then spend the next 2 to 3 weeks having as many chats and as many first dates as we wanted, no restrictions on that. And then we would regroup and decide who we wanted to see again, what the parameters of those second dates would be when sex was potentially on the table. And we actually recorded that conversation where we came up with a bunch of ground rules that we will release as a bonus episode. So we both put our profiles up on Field. And actually, I had had one up before looking for women, and it had been pretty dismal. So I opened it up to looking for men. And within 24 hours, I had over 1,000 likes.
Yeah, it was incredible to see the avalanche of interest that came your way. And as I came to understand later, that is typical for women on a site like this.
So how was your initial response?
It was underwhelming in the extreme. So I had maybe 5 women reach out to me in the same period. And I've got to say, I worked my profile to a fine edge of attractiveness. So I carefully selected the pictures showing all aspects of my personality and different ways of dressing. I wrote and rewrote and re-rewrote my profile to say exactly what I wanted to say. And I wasn't pandering. I wasn't trying to write what I thought all women would like. But if someone is interested in someone like me, I wanted to put my best foot forward. And I felt like I did that. So it was kind of hurtful to see the lack of response, even though I understand that's what it's like for men on a dating site such as Field.
Right. And part of me was secretly rejoicing at this because I have always thought that you imagine there's going to be this whole world of possibilities for you out there once you have my permission to go on separate date. And I've always figured, yeah, your pickings are going to be slim because there aren't tons of women on these sites looking to date a 61-year-old man who is married, right? Like, you probably are not going to have the overwhelming response you imagine you're going to have. Not because you're not desirable. I think you're super awesome. But just because those are the circumstances of, you know, online dating. There's tons of guys, way less girls. And because of the particular situation you are in, it's narrowing the field even more. So I was kind of glad to see that you didn't have an overwhelming response of amazingly gorgeous women.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I have to say something, too. You mentioned my 61-year-oldness. And so I actually addressed that. I felt like the image that women would have of a 61-year-old man is probably not super favorable, and that I was very different than that prejudiced view. So I actually put my age into the algorithm as 53 years old. But then in my profile, I said, I've lied to the algorithm to get a better response, but I don't want to lie to you. I'm actually 61 years old. All of my pictures were taken in the last 9 months. I appreciate you coming by to take a look. So it was out there. I was not going to meet anyone under false pretenses about my age, but I wanted to make sure that if someone who was 51 said, 60 is about my limit, that I wouldn't get cut off from at least being shown to her.
Right. So that first weekend, I spent hours. It was my full-time job going through these over 1,000 likes. And I immediately eliminated a lot of people. And it was an interesting process because I felt at first like I owed everyone a full flip through their photos, read their whole profile before I eliminated them. But, you know, you get 200 in and you realize I just don't have the time and energy for this. So I started eliminating people very quickly just based on their first photo. I didn't even read their profile. And I'm a words girl. So it's interesting to see what happens when you are just served up a glut of men. You all of a sudden can be very shallow.
Right.
So I went through these 1,000. I liked 10 of the 1,000 men. I don't even know if I got to the very bottom of the pile. I think eventually I did, but it took like a week to get through all of them. So I liked 10. I was in active chats with 8 of them, and I arranged to actually meet 5 of them.
So the process went very differently for me. At one point, I switched over to OkCupid because on Field, you can like someone, but you can't say anything to them unless they like you back. And of course, I knew from your experience, I'd be just landing in a pile of 1,000 likes that came across. So on OkCupid, you can not only like someone, but you can send a message. So you can put your best foot forward in words that specifically address aspects of their profile. So if she mentions an interest in art, I can talk about that. If she mentions an interest in spirituality, I can mention that and differentiate myself, because I was hearing from lots of women, don't just say, hey, sup, or you're hot. And I know you saw a lot of those too. Mm-hmm. So I thought, that is one way I can distinguish myself. So I switched over to OkCupid, and I had one of the saddest experiences in human history. Is that fair to say? I think it's fair to say.
In at least your history.
Oh, at least in my history. I woke up one morning and I looked on OkCupid, and the banner across the top of this very helpful screen that they engineered says, here's everyone who's interested in you. And everyone who's interested in me turned out to be a 26-year-old from the United Arab Emirates, a 30-year-old from Uganda, and a 72-year-old about 100 miles from here. So there's nothing wrong with being a 26-year-old in the United Arab Emirates, or a 30-year-old from Uganda, or a 72-year-old from Peterborough, Ontario. But that's everyone who's interested in you. So it was super disheartening. So
again, part of me is internally celebrating.
Yeah, and part of me wishes I didn't know that. So I had an idea, though, because last year when we did our separate dating episode, someone that we had met 5 years ago, I think we had dinner with them, they reached out to us and said, oh, very interesting. We're doing a separate dating experiment ourselves, and we're so helped by what you said. So we exchanged a few notes, and that was that. And then when we embarked on this process, I thought, I'm going to check in with them just to see where things are at a year later. So when I did, they said, it's very interesting that you should check in at this point, because We've had a lot of experiences over the last year, and we think we know where we're going. So this was Mark and Michelle. And I suddenly had a thought, and I thought, oh, so Michelle, you're separate dating, and when I met you last, you were part of a couple with whom things just hadn't worked out. They were great, but, you know, there was just no particular driving force there in terms of seeing each other more. But thinking about Michelle as an individual, I thought, oh, yeah, Michelle's attractive. She's smart. She's ambitious. A lot of things I like. So I thought, I should actually consider asking her out on a date. So I talked to you, and you said, yeah, no problem. And I thought, at least we're going to have an interesting conversation about this separate dating thing. So I arranged to have a date with her. But in the meantime, I had finally found someone on Field of Interest. So I went out with her for just a coffee date one afternoon. And then I discovered online, similarly, a woman who we had met as part of a couple in our lifestyle journey. Maybe that was 3 years ago. And things hadn't continued. But again, a person of whom I had a very positive opinion. So I had these three dates lined up. And you had how many dates lined up?
Five men and one woman.
Okay. So why don't you tell us about your five dates first?
Okay. Well, I had three in rapid succession. Mm-hmm. So two on the first day. So a coffee date at 11:30 in the morning and then a drinks date at like 7:30 at night and then another one the next day. So these three all happened within 24 hours. And it's interesting to compare notes between the three of them. So the coffee date was just a quick, you know, Starbucks cappuccino kind of thing. And the guy was the most chatty online. And he was very clear about the fact that he was a dom looking for a sub. And I thought, well, okay, I'm pretty subby. I'm into that. So let's see how this goes. And he was, you know, 6'4", quite attractive, and looked like, you know, kind of a big burly guy that I thought, wow, he could throw me around on the bed. I like that.
Nice.
So we had a very nice chat over coffee for about an hour, and everything felt very comfortable and smooth and easy. But he did get into talking about how he wanted to dominate me. And I said, well, sometimes I am a bit of a switch. Like if I'm on top, I might want to choke you a little bit. And he said, if you did that, you'd have to know that you would be punished after. And I was like, oh, shit, this guy is serious.
Right.
Okay. So he was very clear about what he wanted. He was into kind of race play dynamics. He wanted to, you know, dominate me.
I guess it's important to point out that he's black.
Right, yes.
If a white person is into race play dynamics, that's
weird.
Really weird.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So he liked having that kind of power over. And we talked about our kind of taboo fantasies. So I'm into, you know, kind of non-consensual fantasies. So it seemed like we were kind of matching up well in our kinkiness. And then at the end of the date, he asked me to get in his car because he said he wanted to have our first kiss with a little more privacy than in front of Starbucks. So I agreed. I got into the car. I kind of joked with him on the way in. You're not going to kidnap me, are you?
Right. And kind of joked and kind of not joked.
Well, I mean, these things go through your head because as I said before, I'm, you know, single woman getting into a car willingly with this guy. He could have driven off and I would never be seen again. So you have to think about this as a woman, which is, you know, one of the things that makes separate dating scary.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in the car, we had a kiss, and he bit my lip so hard I could taste blood. And rather than say, ow, too hard, I just kind of laughed and said, oh, you're trying to leave a souvenir for my husband? And he said, that wasn't even hard. And then he leaned in and kissed me and bit me even harder.
Ow.
And again, I just laughed it off, but I was getting really uncomfortable. And I thought, God, if this is not even hard for him, if this is step one, I don't think I can handle steps 2 through 10.
Right.
And the fact that I'm sitting in his car and not saying that's too hard or I don't like that indicates that I'm not very good at sticking to or establishing boundaries. And if I'm alone in a room in a sexual space with this guy, I'm a little worried that he's going to be too rough and I am not going to speak up for myself.
Mm.
So the whole way home, I was trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong with me? Why can't I just say, ouch, that hurts. I don't like it. Don't do that again. I'm bleeding.
So did you come up with an answer? Why couldn't you, do you think?
Well, I guess part of it is I want to be a good little sub. Mm-hmm. I want to push myself the way I'm doing with separate dating even. Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar. Like I'm pushing myself to do uncomfortable things. And sometimes those things are painful and difficult. And you just push through them because there might be something fun and interesting on the other side.
I know you're a big fan of Glennon Doyle's We Can Do Hard Things podcast. But I don't know if this is exactly what she meant by hard things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this whole year has been a hard thing and I'm doing it. So thanks, Glennon. Anyway, so that was the morning date. The evening date was with a guy we had. This is a funny story. He matched with me online and we had a very brief conversation. And he said, actually, you sucked my cock at a party once. What? And I was like, what the fuck? I don't remember this guy at all.
And he's a pretty handsome guy.
Yeah, right? Handsome, tall, British guy, great hair.
Right. So how would you not remember that?
Well, he clarified for me. So it was a party like 5 or 6 years ago. I was in the kitchen on my knees giving one of our friends a blowjob. And he came up and stood beside him with a naked hard cock. And I just kind of said, oh, okay. And sucked his for a bit too before I went back to our friends. So I don't know if I even saw his face that well. I certainly didn't spend enough time with him for it to sink in.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm a slut is the moral of that story. So I went to have drinks. After the first drink, he said, do you want to go back to my place for a second? And I said, no, my rule is no sex on the first date. That's what I've established with my husband. And I was very clear about that with everybody up front, that I was married and there would be no sex on the first date. And so I said, let's just have another drink. So ordered another cider, had a lovely conversation. And then he said, can you drive me home? I live just around the corner. So I thought, okay, sure. And I got into the driveway and said, okay, good night. Gave him a little kiss. And he said, you have to come in and see the art. Because I had told him that you were an artist. And I said, well, I don't know. I probably shouldn't. I should go. He said, come on, please. And he kept saying, like, you have to see the art. Just, I won't do anything. I totally know your boundaries. I respect your rules, blah, blah, blah. And I felt like he's not getting out of the car till I say yes. So I said, all right, fine. Went in. Didn't take my shoes off. Mm-hmm. When he offered me a drink, I said no. And he took me around, showed me all the art. And then we got upstairs and he said, I just want to taste your pussy. Can I eat your pussy? That's not sex. And I said, well, you know, it might not be the letter of the law, but it's kind of the spirit of the law. No sex on the first date would include eating pussy. So he said, okay, okay. And then we pointed out a few more pieces of art in the bedroom.
And the art was good.
It was very nice art. Great collection. Anyway, so then I turn around to head back downstairs and he's unbuttoning his pants and he said, I just want you to see how hard you got me. Can I show you? And it's already like halfway out. And I'm like, fuck, sure. Yeah. Show me your cock. That's great. And I just kind of like stroked it a little bit, gave him a kiss and said, okay, I gotta go. Nice cock. See you later. And left. So that was not the greatest experience. Like the guy saying that he understood the rules and respected the boundaries and then clearly not respecting the boundaries was not cool. But overall, he seemed like a nice enough guy and I would have been open to seeing him again. Two nights later, I go out with the most attractive person I have maybe ever met in person. He was, again, 6'4", mixed race, gorgeous, former basketball player. And we met at a restaurant, had a drink.
And you texted me halfway through that date and said, this guy is amazing, exclamation mark.
Yes, he was amazing. The conversation was great. He looked and smelled so good. And and then almost exactly the same playbook came out. So after the first drink, he said, do you want to come to my place for a second drink? I've got a hot tub. And I was like, no, no, no. In my experience, hot tubs lead to sex. Let's not do that. So we had a second drink. Then he asked, will you drive me home? I live right around the corner. I'm like, this is sounding familiar. So I said, yes, drove him home. Again, I'm in the driveway saying goodnight with a little kiss. And he said, come, you know, just have a hot tub. And I said, no, no, can't do that. And he said, well, how about a fire? Let's have a fire in the backyard. He said, you don't even have to come into the house, just a fire in the backyard. And I thought, well, I am enjoying the conversation. I could benefit from a glass of water before I go home. Okay, let's have a fire. So I go into the backyard and no attempt was ever made to start a fire. And he started kissing me, pulled up my dress, was fingering me, fingered me till I squirted on his patio. And, you know, I don't love fingering. Anyway, so he's fingering me, and then he pulls his cock out, and I was like, okay. So I sucked his cock for a bit, and then he bent me over this countertop in his outdoor kitchen area and was rubbing his bare cock on my pussy. And I said, not without a condom. And he said, well, they're inside. And I said, well, I'm not supposed to have sex on this date anyway. And he said, okay. And then he just kept rubbing. And he was like trying to angle it in. And I actually put my hand physically over my vagina and said, no, not without a condom. And then he kind of whispers in my ear, oh, just trust me, lean into it. And I'm like, motherfucker.
Well, that is such a high school line. I mean, not that I ever made that line in high school, but it's something you can picture teenage boys passing around as, here's something you can say that girls find somewhat compelling.
Yeah, I mean, and he knew, like, I told him over our drinks that I'm a swinger. You would think if this guy had any concern for his own health, he'd be like, this is a chick I need to wear a condom with, right? Like, I get around. But
We're getting the feeling that people out there in the dating world aren't wearing condoms as much as we are in the non-monogamous world.
Like, well, that's what I wonder,
I know this is just a little glimpse we're getting, but now that you've had these experiences, I'm also hearing about it from other people, not people that I know, but just in the culture at large.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a second date later that would kind of verify that that was true. So,
but we'll get to that in a second. You got to tell me how this date finishes.
So he's rubbing. I'm physically covering. So I turned around and like part of my brain is just like, okay, how do I get out of this?
Right.
And I still like this guy. Like he's very attractive. He has, you know, an amazing body.
And the conversation was good.
And the conversation was great. And other than this moment of just lean into it, just trust me, I liked him a lot.
Right.
So I thought, okay, I don't want to leave him with a bad taste in his mouth, so to speak. So I said, you can come in my mouth. So I got back on my knees. I sucked him off. He came in my mouth. And then all the tension diffused. And then I could go inside and have a glass of water and leave. But there was a tiny part of me that felt like I have to offer this thing to him in order to get out of this situation.
That's not good.
Yeah. And again, driving home, I'm like, what the fuck is my problem? Like, I can say no once, twice, maybe three times. But if I get pushed and pushed and pushed, I cannot hold my no. I can't hold the line. And I don't know if I trust myself to be alone with these men who are pushing the line. And I'm not doing a great job of respecting myself and sticking to my rules. So I really had a bit of a crisis of conscience. Like, what the fuck is my problem? Why am I so weak? Why am I even putting myself in these compromising situations? It got a little sketchy.
Right. So. And I'm sure your initial judgments of them were correct, that they're basically good guys. But you're seeing them in situations where their worst self is coming out. And I know we talked about a lot doing an episode called Men Are Disgusting. And this is kind of what makes me have those thoughts. And I'm a man. But you see these guys, it's almost like if I could talk to them. So let's say this last guy. So good looking, great conversation. He really makes a connection with you. And just to say, like a coach almost. So he was a pro basketball player. I'd be his pro dating coach. Just to say, you were so close to having something so amazing. This woman who never does things like that texted me in the middle of your date and said, this guy is amazing. All you had to do was be a gentleman for the last half hour of the date and the world would have been your oyster. But you couldn't make yourself just hold back on your impulses. And it's kind of disgusting and it's endangering to you. It's showing an insensitivity to what it's like to be a woman in a vulnerable position. And that's what being a gentleman is really all about, is acknowledging the vulnerability of the woman you're with and making her feel safe.
Yeah. Yeah. And the weird, somewhat fucked up thing is if he asked me to go on another date, I might say yes.
Why?
Because he was so hot. Yeah. And the connection in the first couple of hours felt so good.
Right.
And there's a part of me that's making excuses for his behavior. Like, he'd had a couple drinks. He might have had a couple drinks before he left because he knew he was Ubering. He was turned on. I wasn't fighting him off or anything. I wasn't maybe giving him signals that were clear and strong enough. So maybe it's partly my fault.
No, you can't say it's your fault. Little. But you can, I think, say, here's what I would have done differently in that situation. But there's never an excuse. Like, a man's job is to take a no as a no. That's the basic bedrock of dating. No means no. It's so trite. We hear it all the time, but it's amazing that it needs to be said, and it's because of situations like that.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after a brief break for some announcements. In June of 2023, we launched a brand new venture called Sapio Tours. And the concept is that we would take small groups of non-monogamous couples to European destinations of cultural and historical interest.
These trips are different from your regular lifestyle vacation, partly because the groups are small, but partly because it does not take place against the backdrop of thumping bass and drunken parties. So in the coming year, we are going back to Crete. That trip sold out very quickly, but we are putting together a wait list. So if you desperately want to go to Crete with us in 2024, you can get in touch and we'll put you on that list.
And if there are enough people on the wait list eventually, we will add a second week. So don't give up.
The trip we are currently selling, though, is to Tuscany. We are going to go August 17th to 24th to the center of Italy. We're going to have excursions to Florence, San Gimignano, Pisa. There are all kinds of wonderful things to see, do, and taste in Tuscany, and we're going to do a little bit of everything. We are also about to launch a trip to France. We're looking at Provence in the fall of 2024. We just got back from a week in France where we explored a whole bunch of villas and beautiful little towns, and we are very excited as that trip comes together.
So, what do people do if they want to participate in a Sapio Tours trip to Europe?
Well, the first thing is to go to sapiotours.com, and there you'll find the information about the tours we're currently selling. So you will book a 30-minute Zoom call with us. It's an opportunity for us to get to know you, but also for you to get to know us. So go to sapiotours.com to our Contact Us page, and you can send us an email, or you can automatically book a 30-minute time slot.
And now, back to the Monogamous Marriage Podcast.
So those are my first three dates in the first 24 hours.
Right.
How about you take a turn telling us about some of your dates before I finish with my last few?
Right. So I saw the first woman for a date at a coffee place. So as people who know me know, I don't even drink coffee. So it feels funny saying, hey, would you like to meet for coffee? I don't actually drink coffee, but I can get some water and maybe something to eat. And so I did. I arranged to see her, and she was a wonderful person, and she looked great. She was, I think, 51, and we had a really nice connection, but I didn't feel that pull that was the standard I was holding myself to, which is I don't want to get caught up in seeing someone to make them feel better, and that's a very real danger for me. So after the conversation we had, we texted a few times, but I basically told her, I think in very kind terms, that I was not, it wasn't very kind terms. I kind of...
ghosted?
No, well, no, I don't ghost, but I might have misled her a little bit because I was already lining up the second date with the woman I mentioned earlier who had stayed in touch with us through our podcast. So I suggested that that was ongoing and that I only had room for one person in my life. And so I wouldn't be able to really see her anymore.
It's interesting that that woman you went on dates with eventually said almost exactly the same thing to you.
Yeah.
And that's, spoiler alert.
And that's fine with me because I'm a big believer in lying. So
that's so awesome.
Lying for your own advantage to defraud someone, to hurt them, I'm not a big fan of. But if you're saying something that makes it easier for you to deliver a message I'm A-OK with it. So I'm A-OK doing it. I'm also OK being on the receiving end.
Sure.
So the second date, however, was with the woman I mentioned who we had connected with, her and her husband, 5 years earlier. And that date went superbly. And it was interesting because when we talked online back and forth, it was not clear that there was any kind of chemistry at all. If I hadn't known her already, I would have said, this is very stilted. We're just really going through the mechanics of arranging to be in the same place at the same time for a couple of hours.
Which is what I'm most comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Just get to the point.
Right. So I met up with her once we had made the arrangements. And as soon as she walked into the restaurant, I thought, oh, more attractive even than I remembered. But more importantly, from the moment she sat down to the moment we got out of our seats 3.5 hours later, the conversation just zoomed from the start line to the finish line. So that, to me, is a really great sign. So that stiltedness that was existing online was nowhere to be found when we were actually together in person. It was really nice. So I have to say that there were no sparks flying sexually, but she did tell me at the end of the date a story about her being on another date, because she's been doing this longer than I have, and it ended with a very funny goodnight kiss, which I won't describe. That's her story. But it got me thinking, oh, Liam, you have to have a plan for how you're going to end this evening. And so I thought, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to say. So we got out onto the street. She was just going to take an Uber home. I was going to get into my car. And this is what I came up with to say. I said, I would like to give you a gentle kiss. And by gentle, I mean I'm not going to stick my tongue down your throat. So that
you
was
said, I'm going to give you a gentle kiss on the mouth.
Oh, I think I said on the lips. But yeah.
You told me on the mouth and I was like, eh.
Okay.
That's such a weird thing to say.
What I was trying to accomplish was doing the consent thing and also clarifying what I wanted consent for, which was kiss on the lips, and it was going to be not a very exploratory kiss on the lips. So anyway, she agreed.
That's very consent-y of you.
Yeah, well, it's tough to follow that ideal in a way that is actually meaningful and organic in a situation. So that was me. I'm just sharing it with you guys. That's me doing my best. If I ever meet some of you in person sometime and I use that line on you.
Give you a gentle kiss on the mouth.
Yeah, I'll try not to say it
that
way.
Don't say that.
Anyway, but we had the kiss and it was nice. Although I did walk away thinking, oh, that wasn't my best though, because it was brief. So
you do well with the hour-long kissing.
Thank you. Or were you being sarcastic? So I think I'm good with both, actually. But this wasn't my best. But anyway, we talked after, and we both agreed that things had gone well enough, and we wanted to go on a second date. So we did about a week and a half later. But before I do that, I want to cover off my last first date. So that was with a woman who we had had contact before, who just popped up on Field as a match for me. And so I went to see her for lunch. She's really funny, really pretty, and just an amazing person. I remembered that she had done improv classes before, had done stand-up comedy in clubs, and it showed. She was, sometimes people tell you, you know, I do stand-up comedy, and you go, really? You're not even funny here. Like, what do you do in front of a crowd? But she's really funny in person, and I saw a video of her later, really funny in front of a crowd too. So we got together, and actually they were taking a break in their separate dating experiments. So she told me in advance, I'm fine to get together for lunch, but just to compare notes because nothing's going to happen. So I appreciated that clarity. And because I had such great memories of her, I thought I have no problem with that, because that's one of my guiding principles in this whole process. I'm really aiming for dates. If dates go well, they can lead to other things. But it's really about interesting conversations. So I thought, we are guaranteed to have an interesting conversation. She really shared from the heart about her feelings and experiences. And I tried to do the same. And she'd been listening to the podcast too. So like so many times, the person I'm talking to knows way, way, way more about me than I could ever know about them, because we share so much here. So anyway, we had that conversation. It was really great, but it was also clear there was not going to be a second date.
So to go back to my first dating experience, I had three more first dates, And I spaced them out a little bit because after those first three, I was kind of feeling like, what am I doing? I'm not even really enjoying this. I'm making bad choices. I don't think I'm cut out for this. And part of me was feeling a tiny bit resentful toward you that I kind of felt like I'm doing this for you. You know, I'm trying to find a way to allow you to have your separate dating. And in the process, I'm putting myself in compromising situations where I kind of feel bad about myself after. And maybe I should just pull the plug. But there were two more guys I had been chatting with for a while. And, you know, at that point, it might have been a week. And one of them asked to have drinks at 7. And I agreed to that. And then I found out that the other guy I was talking to lived in that same neighborhood. So I said to him, do you want to have drinks at 5? And I suggested a little brewery that was right around the corner from the restaurant I was going to go to at 7.
So efficient.
Well, you know, when you got to drive all the way downtown from the suburbs, it's a thing. So again, two dates in one day, and they were much better. So no suggestion that I take them home. Nobody pulled their cock out.
That counts as success.
Yeah.
In 2023.
Yeah. The first guy was a photographer, and he was the only person I had in that first date pool who actually had non-monogamy experience. So everybody else was just on there looking for, I don't know, easy hookups. This guy had an 8-year relationship that was non-monogamous and had just gotten out of that and was looking to date non-monogamous people. So he was actually well-informed about the lifestyle and was very respectful. And I felt so comfortable and easy with him.
So how did the date start?
Oh, well, it started with me showing up half an hour late because traffic was insane because the Molson Indy was on in downtown Toronto and the highway was shut down. So I showed up half an hour late. He was so chill about it. He's like, no problem. I went to this album store around the corner. He showed me the vinyl he'd gotten. And it was just so easy. And we laughed and talked. And at the end of our hour and a half together, like I pushed it right up till like 7:03.
Because you were having so much fun?
Yeah. And I thought, man, I wish I didn't have that second date scheduled. I'd like to stay here and keep talking to him. So we left it with just a nice, easy little kiss at the brewery. I left him with the bill, said, I gotta go. I have another date around the corner. And he just laughed and thought that was funny. And then I went and had a drink with another guy. He was the oldest of the men I saw. Everybody was over 40, but he was 51.
So the oldest man you saw was 10 years younger than me?
Yep.
Okay. That's good. I like the idea of you getting something in the dating world that you can't get from me. And I can be a lot of things, but I can't be 10 years younger.
Yeah. So he was very nice, very curious. He was the one who had the most questions about my life and about the world of non-monogamy and how we had gotten into it, and very, very respectful. And he basically asked, what are all of your rules? Because I want to make sure I'm abiding by them. And when I told him that we had kind of decided that we weren't going to date more than once a month, he said, I'm going to put it in my calendar to get in touch with you in a month. And he actually got out his phone and wrote it down.
Impressive.
And he said, I know you don't like texting, so I'm not going to be texting you, but just know that I'm still thinking of you. I'm like, oh, well, that's great. Thank you. So that was the end of that night. The next day, the photographer said, what are you doing tonight? So, you know, I met him on Thursday. On Friday, I went down and we had our second date. So that wasn't exactly how I had imagined this would go. I thought we'd have a little time to kind of process all these date ones and figure out who we want to date.
So why did it happen so quickly?
Time. Just because my kid was coming back the next day.
Oh, okay.
And so I wanted to take advantage of my kid-free week. Since we had such a nice time on Thursday, he said, hey, do you want to have dinner? And I said, yeah, actually, I think I would like that. So I asked you, seemed cool with it. You were actually enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, this is date two, so there's the potential for sex. How do you feel? How did you feel?
You know me. So I would say I was very enthusiastic about the prospects of you having sex that you wanted. So if you were having it for any other reason to get out of a situation, yuck. To just make someone feel less bad about themselves, yuck. But if it was because you would really like this, then nothing turns me on more than you pursuing pleasure for its own sake that's good for you, that you want.
Right. So I went down, met him at his place, and we had a glass of wine. And he said, we're going to go to a restaurant a couple blocks away. So we'll walk. And he said, there's a woman I've hooked up with a few times who works at a bar right around the corner, and they've got live music there. Would you like to go there after? I said, yeah. And he showed me a picture of this girl. She was super cute. So initially the plan was to have a drink at his place, have dinner, and then go to this bar a couple doors down. But in the course of chatting while we were drinking our wine, he said, should I ask if this woman can join us for dinner? And I said, yeah, I'd love to get to know her. So she came over and sat down with us. We had a great dinner, and there wasn't a lot of flirting happening between the two women, but I was definitely into her look. Like, she had like this crazy pink hair and tattoos from the chin down, just like covered in piercings, and she looked very badass, but also had this kind of perfect little pixie body. And anyway, I was digging it. So I proposed at the table, would you guys like to have a threesome? So they both kind of looked at each other and looked at me, and we're like, yeah, sure. So she said, you guys go ahead back to his place. I'm going to go back to the bar, watch the music for a little bit, and you guys can discuss and let me know if that's actually what you want to do. So I thought that was a pretty cool move on her part to give us a little space to really decide, because I put him on the spot.
Right.
So we walked home.
Yeah, and I just imagine thousands of men listening to this and saying, oh, please, Lord, may I be put on the spot like that guy was.
Yeah. So we walked back to his place. You know, he would occasionally put his arm around my waist as we walked. At one point, we were waiting at a stop sign, and he pulled me in and gave me a kiss. And when we got back to the house, we started kissing, and he was fingering me. And then he said at one point, I'm actually really nervous about this. And I said, oh, why? And he said, I've never had a threesome before. So silly me, in my mind, I'm thinking anyone who's been non-monogamous for 8 years must have had a bunch of threesomes. But for him, it was just an open relationship. They just each dated separately.
Right.
But he'd never had any group play.
Right. So don't you wish more men would deal with their nervousness by just telling you, I'm nervous, rather than covering it up with fake bravado and all the other maladaptive approaches you saw?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, everything about this guy was great. He's just easy, comfortable, sweet. I felt good with him. So we got started. He was just going down on me, and then she came in. I guess we had sent her a message saying, yes, come over. She came in, and then the three of us had a threesome. I played with her a lot. He was struggling to stay hard.
What a surprise.
As most men do, especially in their first threesome.
Yeah.
And at one point when he was hard enough, she just jumped on his cock, no condom, and started riding him. And again, I'm like, oh, okay, so maybe condoms are the standard in the swinger community, but not so much in the real world. Like, what's going on out here with people? Is nobody using condoms anymore? Because my understanding was they had just hooked up a few times very casually. Like, they weren't a thing.
Right.
They certainly weren't monogamous.
Right.
So anyway, that was a little bit of a orange flag to me, like, right. Oh, okay. So partway through, he continued to struggle. And I said, at a break in the action, you know what, I'm going to leave you guys alone so that you can have one less distraction in the room and you can have a nice ending to your night. I'm going to head out. So I left them on the bed, naked, still playing.
Right. Like, my work here is done.
Yep.
You're an angel
out.
Flying.
I'm out.
You're flying back to non-monogamous heaven to consider where next to sprinkle your your magic dust.
Yeah. So I just threw my clothes on and left.
And I love the idea of you going into that situation, because I've seen you in threesomes, foursomes, fivesomes, sixsomes. You have a lot of experience without being jaded about your experience. So I just think of the amazing gift these two people had, their first threesome with someone who really knows what they're doing. So there you are. You're out on the dating market. You're older than both of them, right? 3 years older than him, maybe a decade older than her.
More than a decade.
Yeah. Right. But you're the one walking in with all the confidence, as opposed to saying, I don't know this dating stuff, and I don't know what you guys do these days. And
right.
Just walk in and just take control and say, I'm going to give you an amazing experience, and then I'm out.
Well, it's funny that you interpret it as me walking in with all the confidence, because my interpretation is I was very nervous about having one-on-one sex with this basically stranger.
Right.
And for me, it felt much safer to involve another woman.
Right.
So there we are out there looking for these separate experiences. And what do? I turn it into a group play thing. Right.
But you did it. It was such a pro move on your part. Like the way you took the energy, like, oh, here's this girl that I know. Should we go see her at her bar? Should we invite her to dinner? And you just take all these individual elements and weave them into something great. And if that's for your own self-defense, that's even more admirable.
Yeah, I guess. So that was my first and only sexual experience in all of this. And then a couple days later, I went to have a date with a woman. So In my time on field, this was only the second time I had met a woman who I was going to have a date with. And the first one was nice. We went on actually 3 dates total, but We just didn't feel the spark. And I think she really wanted like full on poly, like love and commitment.
Right.
And I just couldn't give that to her.
Yeah, I met her too. She was great. I met her husband. He's a great guy. But yeah, it's like the woman that I met at the coffee place. Like if you're not feeling it, it's hard to manufacture it. And you want to keep the standard really high.
Right. So this is my second first date with a woman. Mm-hmm. So everybody keeping track of all this?
Yeah.
So I went down and I was going to have dinner at her house. So that's the first difference. I would never have agreed to go to a man's house I had never met before.
Right.
And the second difference was I was not very concerned with how I looked or how I dressed that night. Everything felt easier about this to me. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't trying to overperform or overthink. I was just genuinely comfortable and excited. So I went to her house. She made me a lovely dinner. She's a vet who was fostering 2 gorgeous little kittens. And she had recently gotten out of a 20-year monogamous marriage and wasn't sure what she wanted.
She had only said she was bi-curious, right?
Right. She's never kissed a woman before.
Wow.
Yeah. So we talked for 6 hours straight. We ate, we played with the kittens, we sat on her rooftop terrace. And at the very end of the night, I just gave her a little tiny peck on the lips. And I said, there, now you've had your first kiss with a woman.
Right.
And she texted me like 5 minutes later as I was in the car and said, I really wish we had taken a little more time with that first kiss.
Right.
So
how did someone making dinner for you, playing with the kittens and saying, I wish that little kiss was longer, how'd that compare to the guy who can't not whip his dick out?
My God, a million times better.
Yeah.
So I ended up going back the next day with my son and adopting her kittens.
Wow.
So my kids already met her. And he knew that I met her through dating. I told him, you know, I went on a date with this woman. She's a vet. She's got these kittens. And on the way out, as we're taking the kittens in the car, he's like, yay for dating girls.
Right. So you were very comfortable telling your son that this is a woman that I'm interested in dating. Mm-hmm. But would you tell him about the men you dated?
No.
Why?
Partly I feel like it's easier for him to understand that I'm bisexual. You are not a woman. And so Me going out there looking for women makes sense. Mm-hmm. Me going out there looking for men doesn't make quite as much sense because I've got a man here at home. But also, I wasn't as excited and comfortable with the dating men thing.
Right.
I just felt so much different in my body driving to that date and driving home after it. Like, I was comfortable. I was excited. I did not care where it led. You know, I wasn't thinking, oh, do I want to see her again? Do I want to have sex with her? Do I want to be alone with her? Is that safe for me? Do I trust myself with her? None of those, you know, thoughts that were going through my head with the men. I just felt like this is great. I love talking to her. And if we have a sexual relationship, that'll be really fun. I'll get to teach her all kinds of fun stuff.
Right.
And if we're just friends, awesome. She's so cool. So yeah, it felt completely different. So I came home from that. I turned off the man switch on field. I didn't want to see any more men. My body had told me what I wanted, and it was what I had been looking for all along and what I had been saying to you all along, which is I don't want to date men separately. I only want to date women.
Right. So that part of the process was over for you, this idea that we would go online, set up profiles, reach out to people, be reached out to, and have a bunch of first dates.
Although I do have another first date with a guy coming, just from that initial group of 10 people, he had a hard time scheduling something. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably have a drink next week,
right.
But I'm not looking for any new male connections.
Right. So do you feel, even from that experience you had last week, that you are in a better position to deal with this date, whichever direction it goes in? Do you feel different going into it than you felt a week ago?
I think so. And this guy has a partner and they've been non-monogamous for a long time. Mm. So I have a little more confidence that he's not going to be too presumptuous and that he kind of understands this world a little bit better.
Right. Okay. So you had a bunch of first dates and then a second date. And I also had a second date.
Mm-hmm.
So with Michelle, who I'd had such a great dinner with, we decided to meet at a restaurant that was close to a park, so we would go for a walk.
But I had offered to let you use the house if you wanted to have a place to have sex.
Right. And I proposed that to her, not in terms of sex. I said, if you would like to come over to our house, Kate has made that available. But I don't want you to think I'm inviting you over because now we can have sex. If we want to, that's great, but I'm very comfortable not having sex. In fact, that's a little bit what I like about the separate dating world as opposed to the swinging world. I like it when sex is not a given. I like that it can happen organically or not happen organically. So I said that to her, but it did put her on the spot a little bit because now I'm just putting a question out there, but she has to make a decision that is going to communicate something about her level of interest. And I understood that there would be a bit of angst attached to that. Well, I understood later. I didn't think about it at the time I made the offer. But anyway, she eventually said, no, let's meet at a restaurant and go for a walk. So I thought, that's great. Suits me fine. So I found a restaurant close to High Park in Toronto, which is a great, big, beautiful park. We had our dinner. Again, the conversation right from the starter's pistol was off and running. But we were more relaxed this time. So the conversation was a lot funnier. And I found her a great sparring partner from that perspective. We shared a lot more, and then we went for a walk in High Park, and it was starting to get dark. On the street, it didn't seem very dark, but once you're among the closed trees on the paths, it seemed dark. And so I said to her at one point, I want you to never do this again with a guy you hardly know, because I'm trustworthy, but I believe I'm the last trustworthy man in the city of Toronto. I was kind of making a joke about it, but I was kind of acknowledging to her vulnerability. And so we actually had a great time trying to find our way out of the path onto the regular roadways that go through the park. And we did that. We sat on a bench. We kissed. I didn't ask awkwardly for the kiss this time. It just flowed naturally. And I told her she's a really great kisser. And she is. And at first she didn't know what I meant by that. And I said, you know, in the lifestyle, I've kissed a lot of women. A lot of women who are very good, a lot of women who are surprisingly not good. So after that, we walked along and I dropped her off at the subway station and I just walked around the city of Toronto and enjoyed the evening before going home. So I thought, this has gone really well. I'm allowing myself to think that this could be a really great relationship because part of what was attractive to me was that she had a husband who she really loved. She even was talking to another guy who she was very interested in. So if anything, I was going to be third on the totem pole, a position that suited me just fine because, as we said, I might only have a once-a-month opportunity to date. I didn't want to fall in love, and I didn't want to be fallen in love with. So she seemed to be just in that sweet spot, an amazing person that wouldn't want too much. So the next day, I said to her, that was a great date. Thank you very much. In fact, I told her it was a perfect date. It's just wonderful. And it took her a day to get back to me. But when she did, it was to explain that while she also had a great time, she would not be wanting to see me again. And that's because that other guy who she was seeing was texting her every day, and she was loving the texting thing, a thing that I had said that I would not be offering in any kind of relationship we might have. And so she said to me that she had only room for one person in her life, as you pointed out, a line that I used for someone else. So she may have actually meant that. She may have actually been saying something that was easy and understandable for me. I have no problem either way. One thing I know for sure is if she really wanted to be with me in a way that I would want someone to be with me, she would have found a way to make it happen. So whether it's making an excuse or saying things the way they really are, I was super comfortable. In fact, I was impressed. She wrote a note very succinctly and with good humor explaining her position and managed to be very, very complimentary toward me too. So it was just a fabulous experience because I said to her during the date, I said, we had one date and it was fantastic and it's in a little bubble. And we had a second date and it was even better and it's in a little bubble. But if we never have another one, I will not recategorize that second date as any kind of failure because it didn't lead to more. It was what it was, and what it was great. So I think she understood that I was speaking from the heart when I said that. And I said, like I've said to so many people, I'm the easiest person to say no to. And that's partially because I have a great appreciation for what I have, and I'm not overly attached to what I don't have. So the whole experience for me was fantastic.
Right. Well, and the day after that second date, you also had a lunch date with...
Oh, yes, with Caitlin, who people might remember from our separate dating saga last year. And we had a really great conversation. She has been going through such a journey. She had tragedy in her family since I last saw her. And she's been trying to work out her own relationship situation and dealing with the people in her life. So I did a lot of listening. I always find her fascinating. The conversation is beyond great. But I did walk away not knowing whether we would actually ever have a date again or not. And that's because I think she doesn't know either. So the last thing I was going to do in her situation was put her on the spot. We will be seeing her at a party that we have coming up in just a few weeks now. So I'm excited about that because it means that from that personal tragedy she's gone through, she feels like spreading her wings a bit and flying and having a bit of fun. So I love that we're going to provide that opportunity for her to do that. And maybe I'll have some time with her at the party, or maybe not. But because I'm so focused on connection, I actually am fine either way.
So you have now had first dates with three women and second dates or second and more dates with two. So how are you feeling right now about your separate dating experience?
Well, I thought that I would have more opportunity than I did. It could turn out that it's just a longer term thing for men, that you literally have to wait until you work your way to the bottom of that pile of 1,000 likes that each woman, at least each reasonably attractive woman, gets. So I've had since another like come in from a really interesting looking woman, and that could happen over the next few months. But in terms of my experience, I really loved it. It was great for what it was, but I've also had a reminder of how great my connection is to you. So we have had unbelievable sex over the last week and a half, and it's just a reminder, in case I ever needed it, that I'm not looking for something to fill a need that I have that's deep and substantial. It's, if you want to call it a need, for something fun, light, independent. But what I have with you is what so many men would dream of. In fact, the thing that we did last night, we're going to do a whole podcast on. So I'm not even going to tell people, but just picture a kind of earth-shattering sex where you're doing something you never thought you would do, and loving it so much that you're completely lost in the moment and you would not know if a bomb was dropped on the house next door. So I'm not saying anything more about it than that. That's like the ultimate teaser. But the main point is that I feel our relationship is flourishing in all dimensions. And so it puts in context this separate dating experiment as something that is a nice to have, but a great reminder that it's not a need to have.
Well, that's kind of what I hoped you would conclude at the end of all of this. And I know it's not exactly the end, that we still have the profiles up. There will still be opportunities to have dates and potential for me to be hurt in the future. But I really hoped that if you were given the freedom to, like, give it your best shot, go out there, date everybody you can find that's reasonably attracted to you, that you would come home and feel like, oh, I've already got the best thing right here. And every time I got dressed up to go on a date with another guy, I was thinking about, how do I want Liam to feel when he sees me leave for this date? I wasn't thinking about my impression on these guys. I was thinking about my impression on you. And I wanted you to put yourself in the position of these men. As I walked into the room looking like this, how would they feel? And maybe, I don't know, maybe feel a little bit jealous, maybe feel a little bit grateful that this is the woman you've got. That was really my thought at the beginning of all of these dates. I just wanted you to want me.
Right. Well, mission accomplished. So I'm going to ask you, where do you see it going? You've got another first date with a man coming up, but maybe more importantly, you have a connection established with a woman, which was really what you're interested in the first place. Do you see that going somewhere? Or if not with her, with maybe some other woman, because that's really where your heart is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. She has already reached out and said, I'd love to see you again, and I feel the same way. Just before we sat down to do this podcast, I liked four or five more women on field. So my intention is to maybe see that photographer again, because mm-hmm. I did have a nice time with him, and maybe give him a one-on-one opportunity and keep the threesome out of it this time, now mm-hmm. that I feel that I can trust him in private.
Right. So for you, a threesome is a bridging engagement with
yes.
someone.
Yeah, that's an easing into.
Right. That thing that so many men fantasize about and will maybe never get. For you, that's kind of like step yeah. one.
Yeah, so I'll probably see him again. And, you know, he works a lot, so he's out of town for a month. So it actually coincides well with our once a month thing. And yeah, I'm just going to go back to what my initial feeling was, which is I'm not that interested in dating men separately. I have you. I have lots of other great men in the swinging community that I enjoy having sex with. But what I really want as far as one-on-one connection that maybe goes deeper than sex is something with a woman.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm cheering for you. I love you so much. I want to say thank you for your willingness to continue to challenge yourself, to say, I want to take these feelings and see if I can work through them and find a way to move past them that is about being true to myself and supportive of Liam. And I'm just trying to tell you that I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think we probably should say before we totally sign off here that it was not easy. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really touched on my feelings around these dates. But on my side, I still don't like having you go out on separate dates. It doesn't feel nice in my body. When you come home, I am kind of mad. I don't have an easy time making eye contact with you. I don't want to touch you when you come home. So I think it's important that you know that even though I've let go and I'm letting you do whatever you want to do, it's still a struggle for me. It's not fun and easy. And, you know, that one night when you went on the second date, I sat here home and, you know, watched Shark Week and ate a bunch of food and just kind of felt icky. So, yeah, it hasn't been easy, but I'm going to stick to my guns and say, I don't own you. You can do what you want. And if you're really, you know, following your heart and doing exactly what you want, and that doesn't line up with what I need, then I will make the decisions I need to make. But my boundary can only rule myself, as we talked about with the multi-amory people. And so I'm going to let you be free to do what you want, and I will be free to do what I need to do. And hopefully that will land us together still on the other side of this, maybe even stronger for having gone through it. But, you know, the jury's still out.
Right. Okay.
All right. I love you.
I love you.
Since recording this episode, we've actually had some success in the world of online dating, and we have some fun and sexy stories to report. So rather than ending on a downer, we're going to do one more episode to fill you in on what's happened since we started this whole online dating process.
Stay tuned. The interesting thing about doing a podcast is it seems to be all about communication, but all the communication is in one direction. It's from us to you. And we are actually the kind of people who like to hear from others. So there are two ways to do that. The first is to connect with us in person at an event.
We are going to be at Libertines Carnival Miami, October 20th to 23rd, and their Soiree event in Montreal, December 8th to 10th.
Yes, and I believe they're both sold out, but there may be a day pass option available. So go to the link in the show notes and you'll be able to find out how to do that. We're also in 2024 going to be at Naughty Jim's Be Better at Being Bad event at Hedo. We'll provide more details on that as we get closer to the event date.
You can also contact us online. We're on Twitter at Monogamish1, Instagram at The Monogamish Marriage. We have our blog at www.themonogamishmarriage.com.
And you can also find us on OnlyFans. So I am under the name Liam_Landon, and Kate is under the name Kate Monogamish, all one word.
You could also just email us at themonogamishmarriage@gmail.com.
Thanks again for listening. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye for now.